are the Roar, where every day is game day. We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. It's the final hour of the week. We're running through our pick'em picks. We're going to give you the best plays we've got for the weekend. Going to talk a little NFL before we get out of here as well. Let's get old school in here. Old school, appreciate you hanging through the break, man. Hope you've been well.
I'm doing good. I hope you guys are too. I got Georgia winning tomorrow 27-20.
Ooh.
And I think we're going to see two series where Georgia is going to lean on Alabama and with the running game. I look for like 175 yards rushing and about 300 yards passing.
Ooh, that'd be big time.
I think Stockton is also going to use his legs a lot.
Yeah, that's been the biggest difference between the Georgia offense last year and the Georgia offense this year. And I'll maintain, I think Beck got a little bit of a bad rap last year, and that team around him wasn't very good. But what Gunner does provide that Beck never could is that scramble ability, right? Old school, where he's going to get out of the pocket, he's going to make plays with his legs, and then also in those short yardage type of situations, Bobo's been able to call some designed runs. That was never a thing with Carson Beck or even a consideration. So I really like the fit for Gunner. I think him and Bobo are on the same page. I think the supporting cast is the best it's been in ages for Georgia, and I think the offense is really fun to watch play with Stockton at the helm.
Okay, that's about all I got. I just wanted to leave you guys with this. It's really enjoyable to listen to you two guys on the radio every morning.
Well, thank you for that, old school.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Of course. Appreciate that, man. We've had a lot of people getting in with kind words lately. We really appreciate all y'all and appreciate the kind words. Keep calling back in, old school. It's been too long since we got you in here on the phone lines.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the kind words, old school. And I think it's going to be more offensive laden than defensive laden. I tend to agree with old school. Really quick, can I give you a stat for tonight's game in Charlottesville that David Hale just posted that I found interesting?
Indeed.
So Castellanos, in two prior meetings with Virginia when he was at Boston College.
Oh, last year was a nightmare. Oh, man, I forgot.
In two games, he has a 42.6 QBR. Four passing touchdowns, zero rushing touchdowns, five turnovers, and 26 carries for 69 yards.
Dude, I forgot about this. I can't believe this. I let this out of sight, out of mind. Castellanos had the worst turnover in the history of college football last year to lose in the Virginia game. They were down three. They had played like crap like the whole game, and they were at midfield trying to go tie it or win it, and he had like the Jameis play reincarnated in Charlottesville where he was like slipping and falling back and then just lost the ball, and it went up in the air, and Virginia picked it up and scooped it and scored. Yeah, that was when Boston College was like 4-1, and they would just come off that close loss to Missouri, and they were still on like the fringe of being ranked, and everybody's like, okay, they're just going to put it out of sight, out of mind. They're going to go beat Virginia, and this team's actually going to be pretty good. And we were very quickly proven wrong with that. And then 2 weeks later, Castellanos is no longer with the team. So how about that? I had forgotten about that. Wow.
Yeah.
How did I forget about that?
So I saw that moments ago and felt like that needed to be relayed. Our picks are in. We are having to back Castellanos now against Virginia, the third time in his career, but I just thought those numbers were interesting.
Yeah, definitely interesting for sure, and yeah, maybe that makes me a little bit more cautious about what reality looks like tonight up in Charlottesville. I still think Florida State takes care of business, but maybe a little bit more worry creeping in on my end right now. All right, last game in the contest, Kentucky.
Speaking of worry creeping in.
Yeah, Kentucky, South Carolina. I'm with the Gamecocks here. You're with the Gamecocks. Majority of the contest is with the Gamecocks. It actually looks like Team Road Rage are the only two on Kentucky. So Walt and Ramona will have their Wildcat caps on this weekend. To be honest with you, Walt and Ramona, if you're listening, I'm right there with you. I think I'm rooting against my pick here. As the majority of us are.
Where did you and I graduate from? Where did we go to college?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we're pulling for Kentucky here. I mean, That's not a surprise, but we have to make picks, not publicly declare our rooting interest.
Right.
I don't think out of the three, well, technically four quarterbacks between these two teams we have seen this season, none of them have played all that well. Sellers by far being the best, but he has not played his best football as of late. I just don't think Kentucky brings a lot to the table here. I can understand the fading South Carolina right now. I can I am very much excited to listen at 3 o'clock today to Walton Ramona talk about this game and kind of their reasoning for backing Kentucky here. I just think with the home field, the way that that team plays at night at Williams-Brice, the way their special teams can flip games, I just see more pass to victory for the Gamecocks than I do Kentucky here. I don't see very many pass to success for Kentucky here. I think the South Carolina front seven can do enough to disrupt whatever Kentucky's trying to do offensively. I mean, go back and look at Kentucky's games this year. Some of their deep ball attempts aren't even remotely close.
Calzada's awful. They've got Cutter Bowley in there now.
They're going with Cutter Bowley moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's the right move.
Yes, absolutely. Zach Calzada has now failed at three SEC institutions.
Get your check, though. I'm sure his bank account's fat.
His bank account's great. I just don't think that Kentucky does much of anything well here. And now South Carolina is not operating on all cylinders by any means. The defense is good enough to win them this football game.
It is. Defense is definitely good enough to win them the football game, and that's kind of where I'm at. I said yesterday, 20-10 South Carolina. I'm going to kind of stick with that selection. 20-10 SCAR is what I'm going with. I think their defense is going to be able to show their teeth. I think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring affair in Columbia, and I think South Carolina gets the job done. Maybe they get a late touchdown to put it out of sight, out of mind, and get that cover. But I'm definitely intrigued to just watch South Carolina play. They're one of the more interesting teams to me in the country to watch play because there's just a very clear disconnect between quarterback and play caller. And I don't know... I wouldn't necessarily articulate it as a trust thing necessarily. Like, I don't know if it's a trust thing as much as it's just like, it reminds me a little bit of the Castellanos O'Brien situation where it feels like Shula is just trying to cram Sellers in a box. Like, when you've got a guy like that, you need to find a way to make him as impactful as possible on a down-to-down basis. And that's just not the vibe I've gotten thus far in Columbia as to what the priorities are with the play calling, right? Like, it's a weird situation right now, and a lot of people are really, really frustrated with Mike Shula and the way that this offense has just kind of sputtered to start the season. So that's what I'm going to be watching for in this one is kind of my big-time takeaway. I really feel like they need to just let Sellers rock out and quit putting him in a box. The guy's not a pocket passer. I get we want to put stuff on tape for NFL. I get we want to develop stuff for NFL. I also want to win games in college.
Correct.
And you won games in college last year by letting that dude run around and be the best player on the field like he was in Death Valley, like he was in multiple games down the stretch, right? Making crazy special plays with his legs.
They also have to find a running game not with Sellers. Have to. Or else I don't see a whole lot of wins down the stretch for the Gamecocks. Because if they are all, it's Sellers or bust, I think there's enough good defenses on the schedule, not named Kentucky, that can bottle them up quite a bit. So yeah. This is a game here where you need to get the running game outside of Sellers going. Because so far this year, I mean, Faison, the guy we talked about all offseason through four games, has 140 yards rushing. Attaway has 93 yards rushing. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. You have to be able to run the football to set up some of these other things. For the deep play action game to work to Nick Harbor, you have to be able to run the football. And so I think until South Carolina can establish the run, I have questions about the offense really developing.
Yeah, definitely.
They're too one-dimensional right now.
There's no like bread and butter. Last year, your bread and butter was the zone read game with Sanders and Sellers, and you had the two best athletes on the field at their position, and they could mow people down. You have no concepts that you were running last year with Loggins that have been incorporated into this offense. The Faison experiment's been a bust. Adway's just straight up not a very good player, and a lot of that also starts up front with the O-line, where you're grading out atrociously in run blocking and pass blocking. So, free Lenora Sellers is what I have to say. I know a lot of South Carolina fans are already saying that. I agree with y'all. I don't think this is on QB1 down in Columbia. Let's get Knowles fan in here. Knowles fan, good to hear from you. Big one here tonight.
What's up, guys? Yes, sir. I was telling John I got a little football game, and then he wanted to tell me all those stats that I didn't hear earlier, and I was like, oh, well, thanks for giving me so much hope, John.
Hey, it's a rivalry, Knowles fan. On? That's what I'm here for.
Man, whose side are you on? Come on, I didn't know he was a Virginia fan, but hey, we learn something every day.
Wahoo wah, Knowles fan.
No, I want to talk about the game. I mean, I'm still, you know, wanting to see what this Florida State team's about. We seem to be taking care of business. Obviously, you only played one good game this year. We talked about that earlier during the week. But I'm still in the mindset that this team can score 30 points every game at least.
Yeah.
And until they don't score 30 points every game, I'm going to stick to that mindset. So I'm going to go 37-27. I think Virginia will score. I think we'll get a stop or two, and I think that'll be the difference in the game. That's no disrespect to Virginia. I think they got a good program, and, I mean, you can see that with their offense, the way they're moving the ball. They're moving a lot of yards. But so are we, and I think we got a lot of superstars. And I think the one big difference is their defense is giving up a lot of big plays, and their defense is giving up a lot of plays in general, especially at NC State. They were giving up big plays, especially on first down, and I think that's going to be the trick. We'll have you make big plays on first down, you shorten the sticks, and it betters your game. It opens up your playbook. Y'all know how that works. So that's my thoughts on it. What's y'all's thoughts on it real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I said 41-28 earlier, so I think we're just about right aligned with our score prediction. And, you know, Castellanos is going to have to continue to play good football. I just think the first quarter is so important for Florida State all year. It's what I told you in week one against Alabama. It's what I'm going to tell you all year. If you can stay on schedule and manage down in distance and use your trenches to establish yourself as the aggressor early in football games, you could go all the way to the ACC championship. Like, that's the path for Florida State this year. Early success in the run game, early success on offense, time of possession, relying on your defense, getting guys behind the sticks and third down, right? It's a lot of what makes most football teams successful in general. But with Florida State and with Castellanos and what he can and can't do, if you stay on schedule, you're going to be really, really tough to beat this year, Noles fan.
I agree 100%. And one question I'd like to have y'all, just y'all's opinion on, you know, people say, hey, you know, we got a little film on them and everything, but can you really game plan for this Florida State offense? Because in my opinion, it's very hard to game plan because it really seems like we have a lot of playmakers. Again, we haven't played a ton of talent, so we'll be see. But, you know, we have the Danzy kid. He keeps making plays. You know, you have Deuce Robinson. You got Squirrel White coming back. You know, you have these playmakers. Obviously, you have Tommy. You know, so it's like if you do try to game plan for, hey, they're going to do this, it seems like we can hit you with, you know, something else. So I think that's what makes this team special and will make us good this year. But, y'all, thank y'all so much for letting me get in, as always. Man, I love y'all's show. And go Noles. Thank you.
Thank you, Noles fan. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling in. And, yeah, I mean, I think we're all kind of aligned with what our view is on this game. We all trust that Virginia can score. We think Florida State's a little bit better roster-wise, and they can probably score a little bit more. So I'm expecting points tonight up in Charlottesville, and I'm expecting a good performance from Tommy Touchdowns to kind of, I don't know, exercise some demons, if you will, against an opponent that's given him some real grief through two performances in his career to date.
Yeah, I think it's going to be offensive. Listen, I took Florida State as well in the contest. I do think they are the better football team. But I'm kind of in the camp with Noles fan there. I think it's going to be a higher scoring affair tonight, which is great on a Friday night. Love to see some points going, because then we'll definitely see some points flying in the next game this evening.
Definitely, and that's for certain. All right, we're going to shift gears in the upcoming segment, 654 Roar, if you want to check in. Going to go some more general college football, some NFL, do some game previews, breakdowns, and more. If you have questions on teams, matchup, plays, etc., 654 Roar is the number on the phone lines and the text lines. Got about 40 minutes remaining in the week on the program. Before we take that break, I have some news, some Clemson football-related news. We have an opening line in Chapel Hill. Clemson is a 13.5-point favorite against the North Carolina Tar Heels on the road next Saturday. So, weird line.
What's your initial take on that line? What's the first thing that you see?
Clemson has been the most overvalued team in the country via Vegas this year by like 50-something points versus like the actual spread versus the results. So, like, my first gut punch feeling is the team that's 0-4 against the spread that's been overvalued all year, that had an uninspired effort this past Saturday, probably has a closer game than 13.5. However, I do think North Carolina is a heaping pile of garbage, and I would not advise you to just waste U.S. currency on that team. So, conflicted is how I feel. I think Clemson probably wins by 2 touchdowns or 10 to 14, just like right in that range. But then again, like, it's hard to project anything right now with what we've seen through four games.
Gut reaction is I'm taking North Carolina to cover the points.
It's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points, man.
It is.
North Carolina, a lot of points.
North Carolina does suck, but that is a lot. Like, has Clemson?
Well, guess what? So does Clemson.
I was going to say, has Clemson proven anything thus far that gives you like a ton of confidence in their ability to not just go up and win, but win convincingly? I mean, you haven't won by 14 points this year. You didn't beat Troy by 14. So definitely a lot of intrigue with the point spread there. And rolling through North Carolina's results before we take a quick break. 48-14 loss to TCU. They went up on the road to Charlotte and they won 20-3. They beat Richmond at home 41-6. Then they lost 34-9 to UCF. So in all fairness to Vegas, their average margin of loss, I guess, is 26.5 points, which is actually more than double what the point spread is. So I don't know. We don't have a game
this weekend, so I can take the extra couple of days to wrap my head around this.
I need to process some things, that's for certain. All right, quick break here on the program. Talking more general college football and NFL right after this.
Serving delicious meals at a fair price for over 50 years, Wendy's commitment to good done right is unwavering. For decades, they've served up great deals to feed the whole family. And nowadays, they're bringing you breakfast favorites. The pretzel baconator, the biggie bag, and you can't forget the frosty, all available to order in the palm of your hands with the Wendy's app. Doing the right thing in the right way is the Wendy's way. Download the Wendy's app and visit your local store today.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education, and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it.
Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace. Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
For 85 years, Blue Ridge Electric Cooperative has empowered rural communities through quality service and reliability. We've grown to serve over 74,000 meters across 7,500 miles of power lines. Connect with us on social media and celebrate this special anniversary as we look back through our history with an eye towards maximizing our community's future. Blue Ridge Electric, a co-op built on service, wired to deliver.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Before you break ground on that exciting project, here's a friendly reminder from Fort Hill Natural Gas. Safety first. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law and it's free. Whether you're planting a garden or installing that dream patio, make sure to dial 811. Your ticket to a safe and worry-free project. Fort Hill Natural Gas supports and recognizes safe digging practices. Your safety is their priority. Dig smart, dig safe. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Fort Hill Natural Gas. where safety meets satisfaction.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Danny Ford here for my good friends at Bennett Equipment, who have stood the test of time selling and renting construction equipment for 25 years now. Bennett is one of the top five dealers in the country for Takeuchi compact equipment, and when you deal with Bennett and Takeuchi, you get the quality, dependability, and service you expect and deserve. So call or stop by today and tell them Danny Ford sent you. Take it from me, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LOCAL to get an extra 35 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LOCAL for a 35 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LOCAL for a 35 cents per gallon bonus.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
We got about half an hour remaining in the program here on The Roar. Facts and Children's John Hyde continuing with Facts on Sports here on 105.5, 97.5. Or maybe you're listening on the app or on our website. We appreciate you regardless of where you're checking into the program here today. Well, Jason's down in Columbia, so let's go ahead and take his phone call. Jason, good to hear from you, man. And your Niners are 3-0. At least you got one team rolling right now in the football world.
Well, rolling if you consider having devastating injuries. you are right. It's a miracle that they're 3-0, you know. It's like I was like so happy, you know, just hey, let's make it through this batch of games, and if you come out like 4-2, something like that, I would have been ecstatic. And so but to start 3-0, but to lose Bosa, I mean, that's just such a killer. I mean, it's really unbelievable. You could make the argument that like what, four of their five or six best players are injured right now. I mean, Bosa, Ayuk still a far ways out. Obviously Brock's got the turf toe. I don't know if he's going to play yet because Mac Jones is like hurt as well. They're both hurt this week. So this, I know Kyle said that Brock was able to practice more yesterday than Mac Jones. So, and then you've got Kittle, you know, it's just, I tell you what, they've kind of gutted their way through a couple of wins. I mean, obviously the Seahawks win. I mean, they're 2-0 in the division, so that was huge, getting those wins over the Cardinals and Seahawks. That actually turned into a good fourth quarter last night. Man, how'd you like to be the Cardinals having two walk-off field goal losses in a span of like 5 days?
It would be painful. I mean, listen, I've never been the biggest Kyler guy, and I do think that like some of the finger has to be pointed at quarterback, right? When you're going into year seven and you haven't won a playoff game with this guy that's been deemed the franchise. But John made the point earlier that like the supporting cast has just never been complete. When they had Nuke Hopkins, they didn't have the defense. Now they've got the defense. It doesn't feel like they've got the wide receivers, right? They got Michael Wilson lining up at the Y, and they've got Dortch in the slot. So Arizona's got a really nice infrastructure on D. I think they're a well-coached team on defense. I want a new OC, and I want some new skill guys before I buy into that team out in Arizona.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just terrible luck, too. James Conner, I mean, I didn't see what the exact injury was. It was bad enough where, I mean, I'm assuming it was some kind of broken ankle or something like that. Obviously, he's done for the season in the San Francisco game. They came back, and they were like, we're just going to show this once. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to look. But you could tell by the player reaction immediately that it was bad. Harrison Jr. is just, you know, first half, it was kind of continuation of some of his other games where he's just dropping the ball. I mean, it made me feel like I was watching the Jaguars. And obviously he picked it up in the second half. And obviously we got Jacksonville coming to San Francisco. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting like metric matchup, because if you look at some of the defensive stats for Jacksonville, now granted, maybe they haven't played a murderer's row, obviously. And Burrow went out in that game pretty early when they played Cincinnati. But, I mean, the Jacksonville defense looks much improved, both in terms of rush and pass defense. The Niners have not been able to get their rushing game in gear yet, even with McCaffrey back and obviously Robinson Jr. in the fold. So it's really going to, I think, come down to just can the Niners create any pressure without – Bosa, I've actually been pretty pleased with Mikael Williams from Georgia. I mean, the rookie's looking pretty good the last couple of games. So, I mean, a lot of this is going to fall on, I'm drawing a blank. What's my man that got traded from the Eagles after a bad year? Is it Huff?
Yeah, you're talking about Bryce Huff?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of it's going to fall on him as well. So, and then D. Winters has done a great Dre Greenlaw impression. Man, that guy has been a revelation next to Fred Warner. Thank God they've still got Fred Warner there.
Dude,
D. Winters has picked up.
I gotta stop you in your tracks real quick, Jason, and I hate to interrupt you, but I'm now pissed after scouring through some box scores. Bryce Huff already has as many sacks for the Niners as he did for the Eagles. He played the whole year. Yeah. How is that even possible?
Yeah, you know, I remember when he got traded, there was a lot of talk. Obviously, he was such a disappointment in Philadelphia, but there was a lot of talk. There were even a couple of Eagles guys who went on the record and said they just thought, you know, being in Robert Saleh's version of kind of the wide nine,
yes,
Seattle defense, the old Seattle defense, would really play to his strengths. So hopefully that's what we're seeing come to fruition. But, boy, he's going to get thrown into the fire now. It's just so frustrating, man, as a Niners fan, because it's like they've never been able to lock down that defensive end spot opposite Nick Bosa. You know, when they went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G, they had the guy that got traded. I can't think of his name. I think it was D something that played at Auburn out of Kansas City. And you know, he was good for like one or two seasons and just never clicked after that. And we've been searching ever since. And we thought Huff could be that nice complimentary piece. So, but with Bosa going down, I mean, guys, this is like either the third or fourth time he's torn an ACL between high school, college, and NFL. Yeah. I mean, and it's just crazy because if you look at him, I mean, dude looks like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, it's just wild how just injury luck. You just can't predict it. And then you guys are talking about Carolina. So, well, let me say this. I expect a close game with Jacksonville because, I mean, pretty much all the Niners games have been close and all the Jacksonville games have been pretty close. And how can the Niners defend that rush defense? They've started out the season pretty well, actually, in rush defense. They're seventh in DVOA rush defense, but last year that was such an Achilles heel for them. I love the big guys that they drafted this year. They've all thrown in the mix. The defensive line are playing well, and like I mentioned, D. Winters has been a great fill-in for Dre Greenlaw. So can the Jaguars get ETN going with Tootin, get him in a rhythm to help Trevor, and just can Brian Robinson, I mean, dude, just catch the ball. I mean, I know Trevor's not perfect. He's good for a couple of throws a game where you're like, what were you looking at, Trevor? But I mean, you've gone over it. He's been let down so much by his receiving core his entire career. And for Robinson to come out of last year just looking like a beast and then to have this kind of start, he had a little bit better game last week. Maybe that'll catch. You know, this is one of those games where I just feel like, I mean, I should be 100% pulling for the Niners, but I can't lose. You know, if we lose, I hope it's because Trevor puts up 500 yards and Travis rushes for 150.
Right.
So, and then real quick, you guys are talking about the Kentucky-Carolina game. You know, it's interesting because obviously Clemson, we've had our own struggles at Death Valley and playing at home. That's become a hot-button issue for good reason. Under Shane Beamer's tenure with the Gamecocks, they are 10-9 at Williams-Brice versus Power 4 opponents. So there's not really like any kind of momentous home field advantage there for them. You know, so it will be interesting to see if some of the ways, I don't think Kentucky's any kind of great team, but there's certainly, man, I saw some stat yesterday where it was like, even if you remove the rush yards, the quarterback sack yards for South Carolina, they're like 124th in yards per rush. Hmm. And that's after having to listen to a whole summer. I told you, Faxon, they always have a glitch. Free Sewell, dude's 25 years old and can't get off the line against 18-year-olds. So a lot of that's obviously their offensive line, but it's interesting. I mean, I still would lean South Carolina just because typically if you got two somewhat evenly matched teams, the team with the better quarterback generally wins. But like you said, they've kind of got to take the harness off of Sellers there, because he has not looked anything like what we saw in the fourth quarter in Clemson, for sure.
For sure. Well, Jason, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in as always, and best of luck with your rooting interest this weekend.
Hey, and you know what? How bad is North Carolina? I saw that we were like a 12.5-point favorite or something.
They're
at
terrible.
Chapel Hill. I mean, geez, how bad is North Carolina? But you know what, guys? We needed a reset. I am going to enjoy this bye week, and I got a feeling a lot of Clemson fans are.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you checking in. And yeah, you know, some commentary on Jags Niners real quick. I think Jason hit a lot of the talking points. Interested to see who's playing quarterback for San Francisco, and in all honesty, not sure how big of a gap there is there. I just think they're different, right? Like, Purdy's going to give you a little bit more mobility, and he's going to give you a little bit more creation and scrambling, and he is the starter that you paid. Mac Jones got a stronger arm, and he can fit the ball into tighter windows, and he's better pushing the ball down the field and over the middle of the field. So I don't think it's a bad situation to be in to have two guys that are capable of running your offense and executing your offense. I don't know if it matters who plays. The Niners are a really good team. On the inverse, the Jaguars' defense has been one of the best in football this year. And Liam Cohen, I don't know if you saw, John, his pregame speech before this last game. He was using, number one, a lot of words that I can't use via the FCC, and number two, talking about how they're putting the defense on the field because the defense needs to set the tone. This is a defense that's been really good in Jacksonville thus far. I know that they didn't have a great last drive against Cincinnati, but they're a Travis Hunter BS DPI call away from being 3-0. Or Brian Thomas Jr. catching the football on fourth down, another way they win that Cincinnati game, right? So two key plays that go against them with uncharacteristic mistakes and a bad call, and you do have that loss on your resume, but I tend to believe that Jacksonville's got a chance to go on the road and get it done here. What say you?
I think they do. I think San Francisco, to what Jason said, is very lucky to be 3-0 at this point in time. Yeah, I think Jacksonville is a much better football team. I think they take care of business on the road. Honestly, that's one of my more confident selections at the 4 o'clock slot. I think Jacksonville takes care of business. But in terms of, like, interest, if I'm taking the four games at the 4 o'clock window, I think that game's third in terms of interest for me.
More interested in Danny Dimes versus the Rams?
Yes, and more interested in Ravens-Chiefs.
One of the Ravens or Chiefs will be 1-3.
That's why I'm interested. It's because a lot of people think that was going to be your AFC title game, and one of those teams is right now very much on the outside looking in. I don't care about Chicago and Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, that's going to be...
That's a waste of everybody's time.
Chad needs to get a win there. I know that much. Hey, before we take a quick break and we can pivot back to the NFL, I told Jed we'd give him a Duke little Syracuse little preview here.
Yes, let's do that real quick here.
Duke is a 4.5-point favorite in the JMA Wireless Dome, a 59.5-point total. Blue Devils have been an electric offense with Mensah, who I think is the best quarterback in this conference. Defense has been skeptical at times. Run game was able to break out of its shell last week. Wide receivers are good now. not great. Mensa is phenomenal. That's what you need to know about this Duke team. And then on the other side of things, we just saw Syracuse walk in the trap and take over the trap here in Death Valley. It is what it is. Their offensive coordinator, Jeff Nixon's done an unbelievable job, you know, instilling this air raid, NFL-type passing attack. My big question here is, will Ricky Collins be able to replicate anywhere near the level of, you know, precision that Steve Angeli was throwing the football with? And to be honest, I think my answer is no. I think Duke wins this one.
I think Duke wins this as well, which is, makes it even more of a gut punch as a Clemson fan when watching this game. I also think that they are going to be, I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball like they did against Clemson. I don't think they're going to commit to the run like they did against Clemson here. I think it's going to be back to, let's just get the ball to Jonte Cook and Valari and Justin Ross Simmons. Darryl Gill, I mean, because those wide receivers are fantastic.
They got some NFL dudes.
Yes, absolutely. They have guys that are going to play on Sunday for sure in that offense. What is the line here?
4.5. Duke is a 4.5-point favorite. It's dropped from 6.5.
Yeah, I think Duke wins and covers on the road. I just, without Angeli, I think we're going to see this offense regress quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because if they felt good about Ricky Collins, they never would have gone after Steve Angeli to begin with.
I like Duke 38-28 up in Durham this weekend. So I think they're going to be able to put some points on the board. Yeah, up in Syracuse this weekend. I think they're going to be able to put some points up on the board. And also, like, there is something legitimate to the fact that if you have speed, that speed's going to look faster on that turf in the dome. And Duke's got some speed. So I would expect Mensa to be taking some deep shots. I'm excited to watch him play. I think he's a super fun watch and a super talented player. All right, final break of the program. We're going to be going around the horn, talking a little college football and NFL in the upcoming segment right after this.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them. They have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo, we have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturgis from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Are you tired of searching for insurance on the web, only to be bombarded by emails and phone calls of companies that say they can save you money? Well, now you can make one phone call and let the Ben Mason Insurance Agency put together a comprehensive plan for either your auto, home, or life insurance. We can put together a plan for you to meet your budget. Call Ben or David at 864-578-7100 for your one-stop quote and personalized service. At the Ben Mason Insurance Agency, we put your needs first. Call today.
Sending your student to Clemson? Why rent when you can invest? At Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus, you can own a brand new home starting in the mid-300s. Perfect for game day weekends, visits, or future rental income. Build from the ground up and personalize it, or move in now and lock in a low 3.99% year one rate on a quick move-in home. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Smart living, smarter investment.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar. Kick it!
Final segment of the week with Vax and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. If you'd like to check in with us, we would love to hear from you on the phone lines or the Adams Co Roofing text line. 654-ROAR is the number. Going to be doing some rapid-fire NFL college football as always. John, where we start?
I want to give the listeners here with about their team that's going to the program. Let's do a very intricate Braves-Pirates series preview. Let's really dive deep into the pitching matchups. No, we're not doing any of that. We're talking football here.
Go Pirates.
No, congratulations on your sweep, Braves, this weekend, because the Pirates are done winning and done playing competitive baseball after they decided to make Kwok's life miserable the last couple of days. I don't think they put anything else out on the field the rest of the weekend. So congrats on the sweep to end your season.
They literally just chucked a grenade on the Reds for no reason, and now they're going to completely punt, and the Braves are going to win three meaningless games this weekend. That's 100% what's happening. No doubt in my mind. The Braves are going to end with 14 of their last 15 games being wins.
Yep. Congratulations on the sweep in advance.
This is why losing one-run games to the Rockies comes back to bite you, because you wouldn't really even be that far out of this sucker if you could have just managed the bullpen better earlier in the season, or had like any pulse of semblance or an offense, or not starting 0-7. All those things certainly would have helped. But yeah, not going to reminisce on the Braves too much, even with the playoffs right around the corner. But like, what's frustrating is you're only 7 games back, man. You win these last three, and you're probably going to end up like 5 out of the playoff picture. And when you take it to account some of the ways the Braves lost games this year, goodness gracious, man, I don't think they would have mattered. You're not healthy enough to win anything in the playoffs anyways, but gosh, that's just definitely mind-numbing stuff there for certain. All right, 654-ROAR, if you want to check in, we're going to go through some leaderboard stuff with college football, or scoreboard stuff, rather, with college football and the NFL. A couple texts flowing through. Under the radar upset specials for college football, and that this texter also asks if Virginia Tech has a puncher's chance headed up to Raleigh playing the NC State Wolfpack. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not over the moon about investing in anything happening right now in Blacksburg, so my first answer that comes to the top of my mind would be no. NC State is only a 10.5-point favorite. Drones looked a lot better last week. Maybe there's an interim coach bump that's coming as a result of that, but I wouldn't bank on that transpiring, just to be completely honest with the audience. I don't think that that's going to happen. John, any thoughts on that?
Apologies. What game we're talking about?
We're talking about over here. Virginia Tech versus North Carolina State this weekend.
Oh boy,
is there an interim coach voodoo bump coming for Virginia Tech? Like, are they going to play inspired?
I mean, I think they'll play inspired, but I don't know if that'll be enough. I've said for weeks I've been very, very wrong about NC State. Oh, it's NC State's on the CW? Yeah, no, Virginia Tech has no chance.
Yeah, it's their
NC
home field.
State is a superpower on the CW.
Very true.
They could go and beat Oregon, Penn State, Alabama, or Georgia this weekend if they played that game on the CW.
That is true. Elsewhere in the ACC, 7:30 p.m., San Jose State's at Stanford. Stanford's coming off of a blowout loss. San Jose State's coming out of a three-point win against Idaho. Any thoughts there? Terrible football game. Who cares? You can get tickets for as low as $9. Like, that should show. Free Frank Reich. You deserve better than that, Frank. I won't forget what you did for my team, man. Hey, a Super Bowl win in OC. I get protective over him. That's you can't take that away from him. Cal is headed out to the West Coast against Boston College. So Cal...
Wait, Boston College is heading to the West Coast to play Cal?
No, Cal is headed to the East Coast to play Boston College. That's my bad, yes. Cal is headed to the East Coast to play Boston College, not the West Coast. They're headed up to Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. And California's had one of the weirder starts to a season. They look good against Oregon State, who's trash. Texas Southern, that's a freebie. They beat a P4 school in Minnesota. They go on the road to San Diego State and take it on the chin 34-0.
Yeah.
After San Diego State took it on the chin to Washington State, who got beat by 50 by North Texas. Like, what do I even make of California, and how did they look that bad last week against that San Diego State team?
I'll just ask you this. Who's the better quarterback?
I think they're both pretty darn good.
These are two of the better quarterbacks in the league.
I'm going to go with
with nothing around them.
I'm going to go with JKS. I would say Jaron Kiwaye Sagapulutele. Sagapulutele, that sounds right. JKS is what I call him. I'm going with Jaron. So I would take Cal's quarterback, but I think the travel coming off of a rough emotional loss, you're going to get one of two Californias. You're going to get a really fired up Cal that's desperate for a win, or you're going to get to the second half and look up at the television and BC is going to be up 14 points. That's the only two ways I see this game going. I don't have many additional thoughts on top of that, John.
What are your thoughts about Tennessee going to Mississippi State at 4:15 Saturday afternoon? Because Texter 6094 gets in. This is the annual bad game for Tennessee. I'm going with Mississippi State with the upset. Now, I'm not all the way there. Texter 6094, I really like the confidence. And both of these teams are better than what I thought they were going to be in the preseason. It's going to be an interesting test for Tennessee, dealing with the Cowbells and all of that, but I do think Tennessee pulls it out.
What do we make of the project in Stark Vegas right now?
It's going well.
It is.
It's much better this year than it was last year. They have some pieces, I think, going to get Fluff Bothwell. They hit in the portal. Mississippi State did well in the portal. I think Blake Chapin has come back from the injury very well. I don't know. I mean, that game against Arizona State was incredible a couple of weeks ago, the way they hit that, 60-yard touchdown to win the game with less than a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we are going to get a great environment here. Mississippi State is going to be very charged up for this game, but I do think Tennessee just has more weapons than Mississippi State, and they get it done on the road.
If Mississippi State wins this game, they need to be in the top 15. I'm being dead serious, because the poll needs to be merit-based. Y'all know that this is my takeaway on this. They would have two wins over the top 15 teams in the country, being Arizona State when they were number 12 at the time, and then Tennessee is number 15 currently marching into Stark Vegas this weekend. Rank Mississippi State if they win this one this weekend. I'm not sure they do. I think they cover that number, and I think this is competitive for what it's worth. Give me Tennessee 35-31, surviving a late one in Stark Vegas and ripping the hearts out of the Cowbell fans.
So Daniel did not get in this week.
He did not.
So I am going to give us a cover-your-eyes game here. In the Big Ten at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon at the Little Stadium on the Lake, UCLA against Northwestern.
You couldn't pay me enough money on the planet to watch this game. There's not enough money on the earth.
Nico's NIL check, I'd watch all four quarters of this, and I'd break down the all 22 if you gave me that kind of money. there is a number out there.
The funniest part of this, in all seriousness, is that Northwestern's almost a touchdown favorite.
Yeah.
Holy.
With Preston Stone's 3 touchdowns to 6 picks on the year so far.
That's just awful. That's just awful, man. I don't have any thoughts other than cover your eyes and run for the hills. Someone's got to win it, right?
I may peek into this one for a little bit. I may tune into this one for a little bit.
You're a madman.
Two horrible teams squaring off, because I think if UCLA doesn't win this one, 0-12, just go ahead and stamp it.
Yes.
If Northwestern doesn't win this one, 1-11, go ahead and stamp it. So I think this is a... I find beauty even in the ugly of this sport, and I will find some beauty here in this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely a dollar amount you could pay me to watch this one.
I'm looking down, and I've got a couple really funny games to throw your way. Sawyer Robertson's taking his talents to Boone Pickens and Stillwater. Speaking of interim coaches, 20.5-point spread against Oklahoma State. Do they show any fight for an interim coach, or like to rah-rah around Gundy even though he's gone? Like, is there any element of that here, or is this going to be B-Day?
I think it's going to be more of the latter than the former. I just don't think Oklahoma State is talented. I don't think they have good football players.
They don't.
I think they will. I think some of those guys will play inspired for Gundy. I do think the coach is there. You know, I heard Robert Meacham, the interim head coach, talking about how he played with Gundy there at Oklahoma State, that they have coached together several times. Like, I know there are people on the staff that are emotional about this, but I don't know how much the players will be. I would expect Baylor to take care of business and cover a 20.5 on the road, but then again, I can't figure out Baylor.
I can't
figure him out. I love Sawyer Robertson. This team is so confusing for me.
It's a very confusing dynamic. They don't play defense, but Lord, they
and
can
Dave
score.
And Dave Aranda's their head coach. Like, it's just, yeah. I'm very confused.
They can score on anybody in the country. I know that much for Baylor. Elsewhere on the slate, just kind of surfing through some games here that are probably going to fly a little bit under the radar. Any chance that Iowa shows some fight against Indiana? We haven't talked about this game at all. Indiana's only an 8-point favorite on the road at Kinnick Stadium. We know that's a tough place to play. Iowa's got a little bit of wind in their sail right now with a league win over Rutgers to start their campaign. Now they're back at the crib. Any chance that Iowa finds a way to muck this up and make it a little bit uglier? Their offense has a little bit of a pulse this year.
Their offense has a pulse, but the defense isn't very good.
Which is crazy. This is the worst secondary ever at Iowa.
I understand the messaging by Kurt Cignetti this week. I don't necessarily disagree with him that he views Iowa to be a much more formidable opponent than Illinois. I think the road environment is going to be a little bit challenging, but I think Indiana is just firing at all cylinders right now. Give me the Hoosiers here. I think they're going to be 5-0 when they go out to Eugene.
I like it. Give me the Hoosiers as well. 7 p.m. ESPN, a game that's probably flying under the radar, but features two undefeated teams in a power league. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because nobody's talking about this game right now. Arizona at Iowa State. Any intrigue there for you? The Wildcats have started a lot better with year two and a new regime in Tucson. Two blowout wins over Hawaii and Weber State. They get a close one last week against Kansas State. Their first time going on the road against an Iowa State team that I think is good, but probably a little overvalued right now as the number 14 team in the country.
Give me Iowa State here.
Cyclones are a 6-point favorite. Do you think it's a fair line?
Yeah, I think they cover it.
Okay.
I think they cover it. Arizona has not played really good football teams yet at all. Kansas State's very bad. Now, while I have appreciated the way that Fafita has responded this year,
yes,
much better than what he put out there last year, I think he and that coaching staff are much more in unison now, and I think the team is better without Tedero and McMillan. I think you're able to spend those resources out better. But I like Iowa State at home. They've seen them in some close competitive spots be able to come through with it. I think Rocco Beck is a pretty good quarterback.
He's
elite. I don't know if he's a guy who's going to play on Sundays, but I think he's a pretty good college football quarterback. Give me Iowa State to cover at home.
All right, let's bounce to the NFL. Croke Park, Dublin, Ireland, Vikings, Steelers at the crack of dawn Sunday morning. Do your Steelers pull off an upset against the Vikings, who are up to a 3-point favorite?
No, Broderick Jones is a very bad dog. Can't block anybody. They can't run it. I like Minnesota here.
I like Minnesota as well. Commanders, Falcons, Jaden Daniels not at practice.
Or Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Give me the Commanders.
Give me the Commanders, too.
Falcons are broken.
I think this thing falls out on Raheem Morris here and Zach Robinson. Saints, Browns, Lions, 10.5-point favorite for Detroit. Do you think that's fair? Have you seen the comments? Do you see what Morton chirped Jim Schwartz in the Cleveland defense, saying they hadn't seen a run game like them so far, and then Schwartz kind of got a little comment back?
I mean, it's kind of accurate, but Detroit wins, take the under.
Yeah, I like that too. Panthers, Patriots. I'm taking the Panthers here.
I'm taking the Panthers as well. Drake May stinks.
Chargers, Giants. First career start for Jackson Dart.
Chargers.
I like the Chargers to win. I think the Giants might cover. They could keep it within a touchdown. Eagles, Buccaneers.
I'm going Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Eagles. I think this is where you right the ship, and I think it's the injuries for Tampa Bay. A healthy Tampa Bay, I'd be picking Tampa Bay. We don't have to face Mike Evans, and that guy has killed us the last couple
years. I love that right the ship for an undefeated team. Titans and Texans at 1 o'clock.
Somebody's got to win. Give me Houston.
Colts-Rams, 4 o'clock.
This is where Indiana Jones takes his first loss, I fear. Give me Los Angeles in a bounce-back effort.
I agree with you. We already talked earlier about Jags-Niners. I like the Jags there. What are your thoughts? Take Jags?
I think I'm going to take the Jags.
Ravens-Chiefs.
Give me the Ravens.
I agree with you. Bears-Raiders. Don't care. Packers-Cowboys.
Give me the Cowboys to pull off an upset. I think the Packers take a two-game skid, and Dallas shocks the world in a primetime game.
Micah Parsons looks like he played for Oklahoma last week, gets all the hits he's wanted to have on Dak Prescott in all those practices. Give me the Packers. We're not talking Monday football.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get to that disaster on Monday. It's terrible. John, great job this week, as always. It was a blast. Everybody got in on the phone lines and the text lines. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all wholeheartedly. William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead are going to be up next with Out of Bounds. Make sure to tune into the program to get their picks, plays, and more. See you next week at 9 a.m. everybody.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson.